Hello and welcome to the Recovering from Religion podcast. Our mission here is to offer hope, healing, and support to those struggling with issues of doubt and non-belief. What follows is the audio from selected videos posted on Recovering from Religion's YouTube channel. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another fantastic episode of Faces of Recovering from Religion, Faces of RFR. This is a series that we sit down and get to know some of the volunteers, some of the integral people for Recovering from Religion, so you kind of see where they come from and what they're all about and what makes them tick and what brings them to Recovering from Religion. We've had several fantastic guests over the last few months, and today is no exception. I'm very, very excited to introduce you all to Amaya Perez. Amaya, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Eric. Thank you for inviting me to this section of RFR. I'm very, very excited.
I am too. You know, what's interesting is kind of when you first came on to Recovering from Religion, it was this strange sort of role, and I wasn't quite sure how to work with it. But we'll get into it. And since then, though, I feel like we've become fast friends and really, really appreciate and respect one another. And I just am really excited to share with the world like who you are and what an awesome person you are.
Oh, thank you, Eric. That's super kind. Yeah, I'm really happy with how it worked out, because as you said, at the beginning, we weren't sure what I was going to do or what sort of role I was going to fill, but I think we've done a good job. I think it's going great.
Yeah, exactly. So to kind of start off, let's cover the basics. Where are you from and what do you do for RFR?
So I'm from Spain, but right now I'm living in the UK. If my accent is too strong, I apologize. English is my second language, so that's probably why. And in RFR, what I do is I'm the online programming coordinator, as you said. And that basically just means that I make sure that you are fine, you, Eric, because I'm kind of like your assistant. And then also I work in the RFRX sessions. So I'm the co-host, and then I also manage the RFRX email address. So I speak to the speakers that are coming to our sessions, and I just introduce them to RFR, and I make sure that all their questions are answered. So that's basically what I do.
Yeah, and you've been doing a fantastic job at it too. It's this RFRX thing is kind of like a new thing we've brought into Recovering from Religion, and we didn't really know where it was going to go or what it was going to be, but it turned out to be much bigger than we kind of expected, and you came along at just the perfect time and have the perfect set of skills to really make this go. And so how did you like get some of these skills? Like what do you do for a living?
Well, so I studied psychology, and then I've had very different jobs. So I did an internship with underage offenders, and then I worked as a telephone interviewer. And more lately, I've been working in human resources, because I'm a control freak and I love like organizing things. And I feel like that area gives me the opportunity to put my control freakness into a good setup and do something good with that personality trait, I guess. So yeah, that's what I do.
What do you like doing during your free time? Like, what are some hobbies that you've got?
Well, the main hobby that I have said before lockdown would be pole dancing, because I just love it. And I think anyone who is interested in it, please give it a go. It doesn't matter your gender, your physical ability, your age. Like, literally, you, Eric, could go do it, because it's fantastic. It's so empowering. And it was my favorite thing to do. But then, of course, everything closed down, so that's not an option anymore. And now I mostly bake. I love baking, making cakes, cupcakes, cookies, anything that can be eaten, I'll make it for you.
And you do it all without using meat or poultry products too, is that right?
Correct. I'm surprised you brought that up, because it's usually like the vegan is the one who is like, I'm vegan, but thank you for bringing it up. Like, yeah, I'm vegan, I don't consume any animals or animal products. So I don't wear them. I don't eat them. I don't eat milk or eggs or honey, anything like that.
Not even honey. Wow. Nice. No. So back to the pole dancing thing. What do you like about it? I see that the folks who do it, it's like some fantastic exercise in it, but what do you like about it?
Yeah. So on the one hand, it's just such a great like exercise, as you said, like if you want to get in shape or just have like an hour a week in which you get out of the house and you do something different. It's just great. And also the community that we have in the pole dancing. Yeah, it's just so amazing because at the end of the day, it's something that nobody knows how to do because nobody like is brought up knowing how to pole dance. Like you may have done football, basketball, you probably haven't done pole dancing. We don't know what we're doing, but we're having fun anyway. And it's just great. And so many people are scared. Like I used to be scared of being like, I'm just going to be so bad at it. But there's always a move for you. It doesn't matter if you're lacking in something. Like, for example, I am not flexible at all. Like I'm the least flexible person you'll meet. But that doesn't stop you from doing pole dancing. You can still put other skills that you may have. So please go for it. If you're thinking about it, or even if you're not thinking about it, I say give it a try.
I know that there's a lot of clubs across the United States and apparently several clubs, tons of them throughout the world too. So there's probably something local to someone viewing this. But there was, going back, I really liked what you said that, the community of people is kind of really neat to be around. And that's something that is kind of like an unexpected benefit when you sort of start to explore something is like you are passionate about a certain topic, but then when you get into it, oftentimes you find the community is just as cool as the topic itself.
Exactly. Yeah. And especially like, obviously I'm biased, but in pole dancing, because we are half naked most of the time, it's like a very intimate moment because you don't usually see people half naked in your day-to-day life. So it's just built such a great community and a sense of real friendship. And then, I don't know, I've never heard of anyone having a negative experience in a pole dancing lesson. I've never met anyone who I disliked, and that's quite surprising because I hate everyone. I'm joking, obviously, but you know what I mean? It's just amazing.
People can easily be awful, I guess, and
yeah.
And this community seems to bring the best out of people.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I've experienced anyway. Yeah, we're all really supportive with each other. Like, if you don't get a move, we'll help you get that move. It's fine. Like, you know, you'll have the support of the group. So, yeah, it's fantastic.
I love it. Now, would you consider yourself ever having been religious or not, or what's the story behind that?
Well, I think I'm quite the exception in RFR because I've never been religious, never, ever. I did kind of enjoy the idea of like Wicca and witchcraft kind of stuff, but it was more like I just like the idea of it. I don't really believe in it. And I've definitely never been part of an organized religion like Christianity or Islam or anything like that. So I guess short answer is no, I've never been religious.
Yeah. Okay. So, the kind of answer to the next question, like what are your current beliefs on, in, you know?
Yeah. So I'm an agnostic atheist because obviously I can't prove that God exists, but I don't believe that there is a God. So in that sense, I'm an agnostic atheist. I'm also an skeptic, and in more like the philosophical, point of view, I'm a negative utilitarian. And that is fancy wording for saying that I believe that we have the moral responsibility of reducing suffering. And that should always come before increasing happiness. So I think we do have the moral responsibility to reduce suffering and increase happiness. But reducing suffering should always be more important than the other one, which is why I'm vegan, amongst other reasons.
Oh, really? So out of your sort of philosophical views on life, you've applied it to just about every aspect of your life, including what you ingest and what you wear.
Yeah, because I don't think our consideration for suffering should be limited to humans, because animals can also experience pain. So I believe that anything that can experience pain should be taken into account in our moral compass. And if like the act that we do the most related to suffering of other sentient beings I think is usually eating, because we do it 3 times a day and you can't escape from it. You have to do it. You can't avoid it. So,
and there's a lot of us eating too.
Yeah.
So when you, how did you first hear about Recovering from Religion? Like, what was your first sort of exposure to the organization?
Mm-hmm. Well, I started watching YouTube videos about like atheism and this kind of like snappy, funny atheist answers Christian kind of thing, because I've never been exposed to that before, because like I do have a couple of religious friends, but they are not religious like to that extreme, you know, that they may not even go to church. They may just like believe there is a God, but they don't pray or anything like that. So I've never been exposed to that sort of almost fanaticism. And then when I started watching YouTube videos, I was like, wow, this is a real thing. And then someone that I follow on Twitter, who I don't remember who it is, I apologize, but they said, oh, RFR is a great charity if you want to volunteer for them. And lockdown just happened then. So I was thinking, I need to do something with my free time. I can't go out. Might as well do some volunteering. So that's how I joined, and that's how I discovered RFR. And I enjoyed it so far, so I'm still here.
What kind of drove you to sort of look at these atheist discussions and atheist videos? Because it doesn't seem like it's ever been a big part of your life.
No, yeah, it was actually, again, I hate to be the annoying vegan, but it came from like veganism, because I was watching videos about veganism, and then there is one creator who makes videos on YouTube, and he did a video about veganism, but his channel was mostly about like philosophy and atheism. So I started watching his videos, and because of that, I ended up discovering other YouTube channels that I enjoyed. That's why.
That's cool. Everything goes back to veganism.
Yeah. But to be fair, I've always enjoyed like debating and like philosophical discussions and things like that. So it wasn't completely alien, but I must admit, I didn't know that community existed before.
Got it. You somewhat answered the question, but why did you want to step up and volunteer?
So it was because I realized that it was something that was creating a lot of suffering, and a lot of suffering in a context that I don't understand. So like, because I've never been religious, so I don't understand how, for example, parents can kick out their gay son because they are gay and put them in the streets. Like, that to me is like really, I can't imagine the amount of suffering that goes into that. And even if you have like a fairly supportive family, I know a lot of religious people struggle with the fear of hell or lack of meaning in life and things like that. So I thought that those were issues that were not being addressed around me. Like, nobody spoke about it. And that's kind of what motivated me to do it, because I thought, I feel like nobody's doing it in the UK. Because obviously there are other things to volunteer for, like, I don't know, cancer research and things like that. But I felt like this was something that I'd never been exposed to before. So I was more like shocked about it.
So this was like sort of, you approached this sort of as a learning opportunity to kind of relate to some other folks, but also almost as a way to challenge yourself, it sounds like.
Yeah. Because it was so new to me. Like, I mean, I did hear about it like in the news, but it was almost like anecdotal. It was, oh, those crazy, like super, super fanatic, like religious people. But in reality, you don't have to be like that extreme to suffer from negative consequences of religion. Like, it affects people in their sexualities, in their relationship with other people, in their ability to find a job, which I find absolutely crazy. That's why.
And so you've been working with the RFRX project for, since it's begun for the most part. Have you begun to learn some, like, what's some of your, from your side, what are some of your impressions of the folks who are coming out of religion? Like, have you begun to have a little bit more understanding, a little more compassion? Where are you at with that?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think it takes so much bravery to kind of move away from something that I'm sure is a safe space for a lot of people. And the idea that there is an all-powerful, unknowing God taking care of you and making sure you're okay. So I have a great deal of respect for anyone who is coming out of religion. I don't think I could ever do it. So if you do it, like amazing. I admire you so much. I don't know how, because also like I know that a lot of people live in communities in which nobody is an atheist. So I can't imagine like how can someone just once they discover in a few months or whatever, discover that they're not religious anymore and just having to face that. Like, it must be so terrifying. I can't even imagine. So I have a great deal of respect. And I think I've developed that because of RFR. Because if not, I'd be like, yeah, of course you're not religious. Like, why would you be religious in the first place? And it's like, well, am I? Yeah. Because they have insulted all their life that they're going to go to hell if they don't believe. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. It's a pretty unique way to kind of be approaching this. I haven't heard that yet. I really love it. I really, really like it.
Thank you.
So looking at your future with volunteering with Recovering from Religion, what do you kind of see for it and what would keep you going?
To be fair, I'm happy to do whatever the organization asks from me. Like, I'm not sure you have explained this in the interview, but when I first joined RFR, all I said was, tell me what you need a person to do. Like, I know you need someone for, I don't know what, and just tell me what to do and I'll do it. So whatever the organization needs from me to do in different like stages of it, I'm happy to do so. Because if I would have applied 6 months ago, RFRX wouldn't have existed and I would have been happily doing something else. I'm very happy with RFRX, but you know, I'm happy to adapt. Although I must admit, I really, really love the RFRX sessions. I love being a co-host. I love meeting like the speakers. They all have been so fantastic. I've learned so much. So if that could go, that'd be amazing. But also, if not, that's also fine. Just tell me what the next role would be. Happy to do it.
I really kind of admire you because I haven't really seen this side like necessarily how you seek after, you seek out challenges and kind of bettering yourself. Like you did it with the whole pole dancing activity. You've done it, stepping in as a co-host, because I know that, and maybe you don't want me to say this, but you were pretty darn nervous to, and you have been doing so good. Just so, such a great having you as a co-host. So I really enjoy and hearing that you are doing this to challenge yourself and then also to understand your fellow humans too better.
Thank you. Yeah, I kind of through trial and error, I've realized in my life that I'm a quite shy person. I'm not very talkative. Like I'm not like the most like charismatic person in the world. But when I have done things that scare me, it's almost always they're not better than if I wouldn't have done it. So for example, pole dancing. If you have told me 5 years ago I was going to be pole dancing, I would have been like, absolutely not. There's no way I'm going to do that. Me pole dancing, no. And with a co-host, when you told me, I was like, what? What do you mean? Me co-hosting? Are you crazy? No. But then it's such an amazing opportunity. And I thought, I mean, if it goes that wrong, I can always step out, you know, just, it's not the end of the world. So might as well give it a try. If it's horrible, I'll leave it, but I'm sure it won't. So let's just try it.
It's been going so well. I've got one final question for you. And I like asking this question to all of our guests. and kind of like before we do this, the interview, many of them are like, I don't know how to answer this question. I have to think a bit. So this is the question. If you could travel back in time and mm-hmm. talk to your past self, yeah. who would you talk to and what would you tell?
So I thought about this question before the interview because I thought, yeah. And the answer is, and again, I'm going to be that annoying vegan, but the answer is I would go back to my 10, 11-ish year old self and I would tell myself to go vegan before because I can't think of any other action that I've done so consistently during my life that has created so much suffering in other sentient beings. And it has improved my life so much. Like, I feel better. I know I'm doing something that's better for, like, other, like the animals, the environment, so many things. And it's just been one of the best life choices I've made. So I just wish I could have done it sooner. That is probably my biggest regret in life. I just wish I would have done it when I was younger. So that's what I would do.
When did you become a vegan?
That was 2 years ago, I believe, ish. So fairly early. I haven't been vegan for that long.
You've got a lot of time ahead of you. It's going to make a huge impact, just that decision that you've made right there. Wow.
Now I'm excited. I love it so much. I would recommend everyone to go vegan. If it's not for the animals, for yourself. It's just, it feels so much nicer. I mean, I think we should all do for the animals, but you know, if you need also like a kind of like more selfish motivation, I just feel so much better. Like I used to have really bad headaches before. I used to be tired all the time, and now I'm not. Maybe it's not because of that, but I like to associate it with it. And there is a very special feeling on knowing that what you're doing aligns with your philosophical framework too. So I find that to be really satisfying also in a personal level. So yeah, that's why.
Amaya, thank you so much for sitting down and taking the time to let us get to know you a little bit more. I really, really appreciate it. I have really enjoyed this too. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. I loved it too. As I told you, I was very nervous because I always get nervous before anything that can end up on YouTube. But I loved it. You're a great guest. A host. So, yeah, thank you so much. I love being here.
Awesome. Well, folks, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Faces of RFR. Subscribe to the channel for more upcoming videos. We're going to be posting RFRX videos every week, and these Faces of RFR videos will come out every so often. I don't know, whenever we get around to finding a volunteer who wants to talk to you. But these have been really good. If you want to learn more about volunteering, head over to our website, recoveringfromreligion.org. We'll have the link in the chat, and we can always use donations too. I'll put a link to donate in the chat as well. So guys, have a great day, and thank you so much.
Recovering from Religion is a nonprofit organization whose mission it is to provide hope, healing, and support to those struggling with issues of doubt and non-belief. Hope, healing, and support is waiting for you on our website, recoveringfromreligion.org. There you can speak or chat with a trained agent who will work with you through your struggles and doubts or to help find resources that may work for you. You can also find local Recovering from Religion support groups in your area for the long-term recovery work. Resources specifically curated for those struggling with doubts, disbelief, and trauma can also be found on the RFR website. To connect with a secular therapist in your area, go to seculartherapy.org and create an account. If you'd like to support the work that RFR does, you can donate or sign up as a volunteer on the Recovering from Religion website. It's also a big help subscribing to the RFR YouTube channel, our blog, or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Questions, comments, and suggestions can be emailed to us at rfrx@recoveringfromreligion.org. Thanks for tuning in, and we hope you'll be with us next time on the Recovering from Religion podcast.